I was thinking about those things. I was thinking about how must it have been the motions. In fact, it was last night in the middle of the night I got up and I walked outside and I looked up to the stars and I thought about the Lord still in the grave. And how those disciples must have felt. You think they slept all night? I don't think so. I was trying to think how they must have felt when they went home to their wives. Some of them were married. Peter was married. We know he was married because the Lord healed his mother-in-law. I don't know why, but he healed his mother-in-law. And, sorry, couldn't help that. But what'd she say?
Did they laugh?
Did they laugh, yeah. But I'm trying to think of all these different emotions that must have been going by. I wonder if some of the wives weren't too excited about them following Jesus. Because there are some pastors that way. I wonder if some were, you know, I've given up everything and now he's dead. And everything we hoped for, gone. The emotions. I think that many of them were friends with Judas. And Judas hung himself. And their hearts must have hurt because of that. I don't care how you don't like a person, you still don't want them to hurt themselves, amen? So there must have been a lot of emotions going on here. And now all of a sudden, here comes the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst. Doors are locked. They're afraid. They're afraid of the Roman government. They're afraid of the Jews. Now they are, you might say, have no man. They're no man's land. And they have nothing to look forward to. But hello, hello, here Jesus, amen. And what a change in their attitudes in their life. And I want to talk to you about that, the appearance of Christ after the resurrection. And I really want to speak to your heart tonight. I want you to listen carefully. I think I have some pretty good thought out things that I want to talk to you about the Lord tonight. Give your heart to the Lord tonight. Father, I pray that you just help us. Lord, you've risen indeed. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you just bless this service now. Thank you that we can come together in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've been a pastor for almost 44 years. And I found out a few things being a pastor in 44 years. One of those things, I found out that you cannot make anyone do anything. You do what you want to do. That's a good observation, amen? You cannot make anybody do anything they want to do. They don't want to do. I don't care if it's a child, teenager, a child to do it. But they'll do it because they know that you're going to pound them or something. But down deep inside, there's a element of rebellion that once they can break free, they're going to break free. Amen? That bothers me. I wanted my child to always obey me, not because I told them to, because they love me and they trusted me. You cannot make a teenager do what you want them to do. Oh, yes, I can. Yeah, right. You can't make an adult do what you want to do. Nor the elderly. Now, I'm sure that you may have found out that I can really make your life miserable if you don't do what I want you to do. Or someone else can make your life very miserable if you do not do what they suggested to command you to do. Same goes in your home. No one makes anyone do anything they want to do. At work, no one makes anyone do anything they don't want to do. Or play. No one makes anyone do anything they don't want to do. Or they'll take their bat or ball and run away home. Amen. Or in love. No one makes anyone do anything they want you to do. Unless you want to do it. Would you agree with me on that? No one can. Listen to me. Not even God Almighty. Check out your Bible. Christ could not. Scripture teaches us that it's easier to change weather than it is to change the mind. Man has been given a free will. And he sure do know how to use it, amen. At infancy, the little bundle of love and gift from God begins to delve into the dark place of his brain. Yes, he does. Don't look at me like that. Either you have never had children or you're suffering from a nervous breakdown from one of those free gifts from God. They learn at a very young age to connive, to scheme, to devise, learn strategy, dodge your discipline. Oh, they are clever little merchants. They will lay awake all night screaming, and all day they'll sleep, and you still have to watch their backside, amen. For a couple reasons, amen. Cry. By the way, the greatest invention of all time were these paper diapers and pull-ups. No, honey, the pin is not sticking to your little darling. Now, just a few of you will get that because you haven't been around with pins or diapers. And my father-in-law always knew that Chad was being stuck by a pin when he was crying. So he's crying, you go pick up that little pup. Bam, you're busted. He smiles, he coos, he giggles. Wham, bam. You done taught that little critter how to manipulate by using his free will. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
When I was back on the farm, we'd go back to the farm for Christmas or summer vacation, my dad and mom, Marcia and I'd sit together after the kids got them to bed and talking about trying times of raising children. By the way, that was not good for my self-esteem. Marcia really seemed to enjoy it and laugh when my father would tell about me and my mother would tell about me. He said that was a time when there was a time when I would not stay in my crib. And I would climb out of my crib and play. Well, Mom and Dad thought I was sleeping, they're down sleeping. I just climb out of my crib and play. So my dad thought it'd be a great idea to take his Sunday go-to-meeting ties and tie me into my bed. And keep me from playing and I'd go to sleep. He said you'd always get out. My dad would smile. I promise you, I don't think he smiled at the first hand of it. And I don't think there was no smiling going on when I was playing Houdini and escaping trip out so I could play. You are the ones who are willing to pull the strings to our beliefs. We make our choices. God has given us a free will. He says, this is what the Bible said. And we say, okay, or, nah, not this time. Would you accept that? All of us have a choice to make. And those choices really make a difference out of our life. As a child growing up, he makes choices. He makes some good choices, bad choices. He makes some choices to have friends. He makes some bad choices to have friends. He makes choices in his life that he shouldn't do and choices in life that he should do. And some of those choices come back and haunt us and bite us, amen. I was reading about a preacher teaching the Word of God. And if it takes hold of you, you'll live it. And that there's usually no hope for us if we're not willing to accept what the Bible preaches and teaches us. There's a preacher that I admire greatly who used to preach in soul-winning conferences all over the United States, and he would say, if you really believe there's a real hell with fire, brimstone, and torment, you'd be a soul winner. If you believe there's hell. A couple years ago, I was talking to one of the chaplains for Lewis and Clark Sheriff's Office. And he told me of five teens were killed tragically in a vehicle crash just outside of Helena. Alcohol and drugs were involved. As I talked to the chaplain, who also attended the scene, that's where they were killed, he began to tear up. Quietly, he said, "I preached for two of their funerals." Chaplain, both churches were packed with teenagers, yet he said, "I don't think that they got my message on how terrible drinking and driving and drugs was. They will never see their friends again, never stand in a graduation. Their parents will never attend their music concerts, ball games, or school. Many will follow many that they had followed many years. Never enjoy seeing their child walk the aisle and get their diploma. Never, never, never. Never have a family." And then he trailed off as if he saw something out the window and he was gazing at the chaplain. Then he looked at me and said, "You know, chaplain, the weekend of the funeral, both Lewis and Clark, Sheriff's Office, and Helena PD arrested boatloads of MIPs, minors in possessions, after the funeral. They say a man convinced against his will is the same opinion still. You can convince and you can convince all you want. But if you still have the opinion, you'll still keep it unless you blood wash it in the blood of Jesus Christ. I challenge you tonight that you would be very careful when you read this Word of God. And you're really careful that you will be taking an account for what God has given you and what God has taught you and the preachers that have preached to you and the Sunday school teachers that teach you and the evangelists and the missionaries that have brought the Word of God and say, "Thus saith the Word of God." Let me remind you, the Holy Spirit is working all the time. The Holy Spirit teaches us the Word of God, and it does not return void, nor the preaching in vain. The question I ask you, is it a waste for the man of God to try to convince a child or a teenager, or young adult, middle aged, or senior citizen that does not care about biblical principles and precious Word of God, do it? We still do it. And the answer is yes. Let me remind you, the Holy Spirit is working all the time. And that one little verse, or that one little phrase, or that one little illustration may just be the thing that cracks it open and say, "Whoa, that's it." When I was a teenager, 20 is still a teenager, right? 20? Guess not. 19 is. I turned 20. I came home from college, and I'd seen what my friends were doing. And I said in my heart, "I'm not going that way anymore." He said, "Go that way?" "Yeah, quite a bit." But I said, "I'm not going that way anymore. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, he reaps." And that little verse stuck in my heart. The second verse stuck in my heart. "Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps." The third one, "Be sure your sins will find you out." And I said, "I don't want no more of that. I don't want no more of that. I don't want to go any more with that. I'm done with it. I'm through with it. All it does is gives you apples with worms in it." Amen. It's a bunch of hog slop. And people don't even act as good as a barnyard animal. And I said, "I don't want that stuff." Now that's what it took to me. But I will tell you, it took 20 years of that. 20 years of preaching and 20 years of, boy, getting in college and service after service after service and day after day that hot chapel pulpit. And finally, okay. I'm reminded of Preacher Sunday, who screamed at the top of his lung the whole service. And someone came up and said, "Why do you do that?" A visiting preacher friend. He said, "Man," he said, "you screamed the whole service." He said, "Well, brother, I'm not going to let someone come to my church and go to sleep and wake up in hell because they didn't hear the gospel message of salvation from this pulpit. If they sleep, They didn't get the message, and it's my fault. But if they hear it, even if they get mad, it's their fault. In all that, I was thinking about all those that were personally involved in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. You just kind of wonder when the Lord had told them. Remember, He said, as I said to them. Still didn't get it, did they? How many times I got to tell you so you get it? We have a little thing. And I tell you, I say it and 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 say it. And there's no memory of it. But one of these days, it's going to happen. So I ain't quitting. And I don't care how many times you mamas, I have phone calls from parents and say, preacher, we have tried, we have tried, we have tried, we have tried. We don't want to do anymore. Well, there's two things you do. Number one, you can kill them. Or number two, you can keep at them, amen. And it's better if you keep at them. And you tell them, and you remind them, and tell them, and illustrate, and say, this is what happens to people. You cut out cards and clips of newspaper and say, this is what killed these kids. Yep. And son, if you do that, that's what's going to happen to you. You're no different than they are. And on. And do it in love. Don't you let them get you frustrated. Because when you start yelling, you just lost it. And you know, I travel with a bunch of cops. And I'll see them once in a while. Just, boy, some people really push their button. And I mean, they're just pushing their button. And I'm watching them. I see them just turn around, walk to their office, walk back to their patrol car. Throw their stuff in. Guy aggravates me. But I'm an officer of law. And I just, it's not about me. It's about this badge right here. And I'm going to live this badge. And he ain't going to take it away from me. I'm telling you, that's no different than raising kids. You lose your cool, you get screaming and hollering, and the first thing you do, you rip off the head of the some person, like husband or wife, that loves you the most, and you're frustrated, and you can't get to them, so you just take it out on somebody. Whoa! Back off! I'm thinking about these disciples, what they were going through all this time. You know, there's 13, I believe there's at least 13 different places where Jesus Christ met them. That's in the Bible. Of course, there's other times that were not written in the Bible they met. But there's at least 13 times that they met him. And Jesus had told them, I'm coming back. Remember how upset they got in John chapter 13? He said, hey, I've got to go away. And they all knew he was going to go away. And that's why he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house. And if I go away, I'll prepare a place for you. Did they know it or not? Don't you wonder about your kids sometimes? Don't you just like to open up their brain and say, is there anything in here? Why doesn't it compute? Maybe there's no hard drive in there. If you do this, this is what's going to happen. They do it. Well, why'd you do that to me? Because I said I was going to. Well, you don't have to be so hard. Well, you don't have to be so stupid. Oh, you just lost it right there, right? Huh? Yeah. Jesus had these disciples that had some real problems. And they're like Sheldon and James and Bob and Bill and Jim, and we're all different, all the same, aren't we? Aren't we? Don't we fail? Don't we fumble? Don't we stumble? Hey, let me remind you, don't quit when you fumble and you stumble. You talk about the stupidity of all. Peter said, Lord, I'll die for you. Jesus said, before a cock crows, you're going to be denying me three times. I know not the man. I don't know the man. Blank it, blank, I know not the man. Just like that. You done? Now, stupidity is this. He went out and hung himself. That was Judas. Peter went out and what? Wept bitterly. And before I know it, he's back with the boys. Don't quit. There are things in your life that are going to almost destroy you. There's going to be things in your life that you don't know which way to turn. You just don't quit. You just keep at it and at it and at it and at it and at it. You say, what will people think? Well, really, that's not the point, is it? It's not what people think. It's what he knows. And if that's the kind of people that you're around, maybe it's a good idea to punch out and go someplace else to people that really do love you. If I'm running around with a bunch of guys and they don't like me, why, first of all, why am I running around with those kind of people? Number one, Mary Magdalene. She saw Jesus. She's the one that Jesus had cast seven devils from her. This is what Mark chapter 16:9 says. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he had cast seven devils. Why did he appear? Because she was there. Many times we miss out by not being there. Many times we miss out on the blessing of God because we're just not there. Get around the spout where the best blessings pour out, amen. Not you or me. That's you. We'll answer the text. Hey, is he preaching good? Oh, yeah, man. It's embarrassing, isn't it, huh? Yeah, don't worry about it. It happens to me all the time up here. When she went and told that they had been with him, and they mourned and wept, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and been seen of her, listen to what the next two words, believe not. They're weeping, but they believe not. What do you think that did for Mary Magdalene? Well, that really raised her attitude towards those disciples, amen? What do you mean you don't believe me? I saw him! Sure, right, yeah. Get away from me, you wicked woman. We know who you are. Boy, people can sure be mean, amen? Number two, the other one. Matthew 28:9-10. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail! And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Hallelujah about that. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Just what the disciples said. Yeah, right. Then we see another place where Jesus is met. That's the two disciples going to on the road to Emmaus. In Luke chapter 24, verse 15. And get down to verse 20. They're talking here, and Jesus is with them. And how that the high priest and the rulers delivered him and condemned him to death and have crucified him. Verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished at which were early at the sepulchre. They were there. Where were you guys? Why weren't you there? And when they found not his body, they came saying that they also seen a vision of angels and said that he is alive. And certain of them which were with us, went to the sepulchre. Guess who those were? Remember? Peter and John. And old Peter, he got beat by John long ways. Old Peter come huffing and puffing in, amen. But John's already there, amen. And found it even so, the woman said, but him they saw not. And the Bible says, and they drew close to the village, and they begged Jesus to keep going with him. And and Jesus called them fools. Then he broke bread, and he vanished out of their sight. And this is what they said: did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened his scriptures? Boy, I'd love to hear that sermon. Amen. It's a long walk to Emmaus. And Jesus just preached them Moses and the prophets, Genesis, Exodus, all the way to Malachi. Just kept preaching to them. That requires sermons. They didn't believe it. They've been told, didn't believe it. I don't care how convincing you are, unless a person believes it, you're wasting your time, for the most part. 11 disciples, we read that tonight. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they'd seen a spirit. While they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have you any meat? Then he meets Peter. And we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 5 says that. And that he was seen of Cephas. And then we see the 10, and Thomas was absent. And then we see the 11 met. This is the second, that'd be next Sunday night. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas was there. And then came Jesus, door being shut, and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Then said Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believe me. I don't know about you, but the heart of Jesus Christ must have just almost curdled. Of these men who he had trained, and what's wrong with them? Why won't they get it? Thinking of that, maybe it's a good thing they didn't get it right away, because we have all these scriptures that we, the remarkable Christians, we really believe. We believe everything. Or do we? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yeah, I believe that. Amen. Who'll go? Here's a dollar. Hope that'll bless you. There's a lot of other sermons you can preach on that. Then at the Sea of Galilee, one of my favorite, you tell how tough old Peter is. The Bible says, Jesus said, cast out. And they cast out, and they pulled up, and it was so heavy, there was 153 fish. Brother, that's good fishing. And the Bible said, John said, Peter, it's the Lord. Swam in. Amen. They're all in there. He's got food. Come on, boys. Come to there. And what's the Bible say? Well, Peter went back and grabbed them net and drug it right in. Amen. He must have been a tough guy. I like tough guys. Then I think of the 500. At once, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, verse 6. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. He said, I'm telling you, I know of at least 500. Some are passing away now, but I'm going to tell you, there's 500 people you could walk up and say, yes, I saw Jesus Christ. I saw His riven hands, His riven feet, and His slit side. I've seen it. 11 disciples. To James. Scene of James. In the last ascension. Led them out to Bethany and lifted up His hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried into heaven. And then the 13th, Paul at his conversion on the road to Damascus. So many different promises, so many different things of the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we but believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? These men were there. They questioned. You talk about questions and wonderings and being afraid and not know which way to turn. Yet Jesus Christ just kept pushing it and kept pushing it and kept pushing it, and finally they believed. You know, that has to be. By the way, that wouldn't hurt you at home that you would keep pressing and pressing and pressing your children to believe. Don't give up on them. I don't want to go to church. Well, we have a policy here at this house. And it's not if we're going to church, it's when we're going to church. And nothing's getting away. Ball games. You hear me? Right. Athletic events. Nothing's going to get in the way of my church service. I can't imagine how Christian families think the God of all soccer for a little 5-year-old or a 3-year-old is more important than when's you're not church. Explain that to me. I've told my kids, you're going to play ball? Play ball. Come to church with the uniform still on, but bless God, come running in and sliding home, amen. Nothing wrong playing sports. I love sports. Man, there's nobody that loves sports more than I can't wait till the Final Four coming up. You say, who's playing? I don't know, but I just can't wait. I know Kentucky's not. Can't keep it quiet, can I? Have a there's Peter right there, man. Keep at it. Say, no, we're not doing that. I'm a hunt, sonny. Not doing it. 6 days a week, I'm happy, I'm thrilled, I'm doing what God wants me to do. But I'm going to come to church. Now, you can do what you want, because you're going to do what you want.
That's right.
Amen?
Yep.
You are going to do what you want. I remember when I was a little boy. Sunday afternoon, my dad had just finished some combine and Saturday night. And he left that tractor and combine and everything out in the field. Well, you got to know my daddy. It ain't going to lay out there. He's going to bring it in and put it underneath the barn or shed. So Sunday afternoon, Dad said, okay, we got to get that stuff in. We're just going to get in. We're going to do a work. Just get in. He had hard to convince me about that because I wasn't going to do anything on Sunday. It's okay. I know I'm weird. It's all right. So we get out there, and my dad's following me. We're coming up Shear Road. Got it? We're just about ready to turn into the Shear Farm. And my Aunt Mabel came by. Stopped her car. Claire Shear? What are you doing on that tractor, the combine today? You know this is Lord's Day. Oh, man, she just picked a fuss. She was mad as a wet hen. And I'm going like that. I'm sitting on that big old John Deere. I'm looking at her. Oh, my. She's my Sunday school teacher, right? And what my Sunday school teacher taught me, I believed. Amen. I shut that tractor off. In the middle of the road, climbed off. My dad said, boy, what you doing? I said, I ain't working on Sunday. We ain't working. We're just pulling these things into the... And then my Aunt Mabel realized just a little bit of her stupidity. My tractor's sitting in the yard. My tractor wagon is sitting in the road, right in the middle of Shear Road. And my dad looked at me and he said, son, you get back on that tractor, and I don't care what your Aunt Mabel says, and you pull that thing back in, you pull that thing into the barn. With my great computer-like mind, I thought, I don't live with my aunt, but I live with my dad. My aunt has never spanked me. My dad has whooped me. And I said, sorry, Aunt Mabel. Man, I never, and my dad finally said, what did you drive so fast for? I said, hey, I'm getting out of here. I don't want God to strike me dead. Amen. You imagine, just a little guy, about 10 years old. You know, folks, I just want to live for the Lord. And I just hope somebody like to get on board with me and say, you know what, we're going to serve the Lord no matter what. Amen. There's a lot of junk out there today. There's a lot of things that are questionable. I don't want to do questionable things. I want things that are black and white. And like I said, sports, whatever. Fishing, hunting, swimming, whatever. You got to make some choices in your home. And you ought to stay by them. And you ought to live by them. And be faithful. Father in heaven, I pray tonight. Lord, thank you for the great scripture of the resurrection. Well, question. Lord, I pray tonight as we have this time of invitation, Lord, our hearts would be turned to you, that we will walk close to you. And, Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I'd sure like to know that tonight. Would you lift a hand? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me?